If there are places where records are not being shared because they're not available, then we have work to do. And it is on the CIO leadership, Chime and HIMSS, to continually push for open sharing of electronic medical records for the sake of continuity of care.
From InterSystems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
We are here today with John Hoyt, former Executive Vice President for HIMSS, the Healthcare Information and Management Systems Society, HIMSS Analytics. HIMSS is the largest U.S. not-for-profit healthcare association in the United States, which is focused on providing global leadership for optimal use of information technology. While John was at HIMSS, the organization had over 55,000 members. John is also the former CIO of Martha Jefferson Hospital. John, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
So, John, one topic I'd like to just jump right into is the value of comparing yourself to others in the market. HIMSS, as many of our listeners will know, has events around the world with HIMSS has offices in the United States, Europe, events in South America, Middle East, also has an office in Asia, and hosts exhibitions around the world. In the past, you've mentioned that, quote, patient data in Europe goes far beyond blood pressure and BMI, but includes socioeconomic indicators of health, like access to healthy food choices. The ultimate goal would include both a shift to prevention rather than treatment and connecting data from different care settings. Ideally, a patient's record would include everything from primary care to hospice and public health information, end quote. John, would you care to elaborate on the differences between U.S. and European models of care and the value in general of comparing yourself to others in the market?
Certainly. That subject is what we call here social determinants of health. I found that in Europe, notably in Northern Europe, the Nordics, Finland, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Iceland, they are more oriented to collecting that holistic data as part of the electronic medical record. In fact, the tender for an EMR for Finland as of about 2016 required the bidders to collect and utilize social determinants of health. And in my conversations with people from the Ministry of Health of Finland, they asked me questions like the following: does your EMR collect information on your availability to get fresh vegetables and fruits 9 months a year? Can you walk to a grocery store to get fresh vegetables and fruits? Are you going to a dentist? Has your child had any problems at school? And I was just astounded that this was a routine expectation more than 6 years ago for part of the family medical history. So that was a good eye-opener for me to see how the Nordics perceive these things. They also clearly were ahead of the United States in information sharing. Yes, they have the privacy regulations, et cetera, like we do. They know about our HIPAA laws because they have equivalents. But they see, this is my opinion, they're stronger in their commitment to health as a public value. It's a public service. And thus, sharing it is an absolute necessity. And they don't see other hospitals as strongly as we do as competitors. So, that's how I was made aware of what was going on in the Nordic countries and their sharing. They are aware that in the United States, healthcare is a competitive game, and they don't perceive that as something they wish to do. Interesting.
So for our CIOs in the United States who are listening to this episode, are there any, and given that we're not going to be changing our general competitive environment in the United States, and we're not going to adopt a Northern European social democrat type political, social, cultural, society, social norm, how would you suppose CIOs of American hospitals today can learn any lessons from what's going on in other parts of the world?
I think the answer is somehow measuring continuity of care. Are we still failing to complete a complete continuity of care record for patients? If there are places where records are not being shared because they're not available, then we have work to do. And it is on the CIO leadership, Chime and HIMSS, to continually push for open sharing of electronic medical records for the sake of continuity of care.
So on that topic, you can't share data unless you can technically share data. I want to speak for a second about the role of interoperability in driving HIMSS ratings and maturity models in relation to, specifically with relation to semantic interoperability in the format of data elements. Can you speak about what HIMSS role has been in promoting interoperability, where you see the United States was, where you see we are, and where you think we need to be with interoperability?
Yes, HIMSS was one of the leaders, as was Chime, in the United States in promoting interoperability and tearing down our walls. And semantic interoperability is the goal to which we're all heading. That is, do I understand the information that you just sent me electronically, and can I operate on it? And what that means is, if you send me allergy data from a patient that I did not have, can I then take that data and run it against current prescriptions to see if all of a sudden we learn that a patient is in fact receiving a medication to which you just said he potentially could be allergic? So that is a huge goal, and we have to move forward with that. Another such interoperability, which we are not doing today, is regarding a patient consuming the medications to which for which they've been prescribed. If you prescribe a medication and the patient never picks it up at the pharmacy, are you aware of that? You know, is there a query and response mechanism with the pharmacy benefit managers to do that? We're not doing that yet in the United States. If they do fill a prescription in 30 days, do they renew it? So those are the goals to which we should continue to strive, because we are short on that here still in the United States. It's tough, but we can do it.
So one thing that has been driving interoperability over the last decade and a half and during all your time in leadership in HIMSS was driving adoption of meaningful use, the High Tech Act under Presidents Bush and Obama, driving general adoption, implementation, use payments, meaningful use payments. So, and that brings me to the topic of MRAM, which is an acronym from HIMSS that stands for Electronic Medical Record Adoption Models. You have inpatient and outpatient models. I think this is something that you worked on in particular. Would you please care to elaborate on HIMSS adoption models?
Absolutely. So we started with the inpatient EMR adoption model in 2008. We had our first top stage client. The model was actually introduced in 2005. We did not have a stage 7, that's the top, until 2008. I joined in 2008, and then I took over responsibility for the program in 2010. We have modified the model periodically through the years, as we have to. And then we added an outpatient model, and then we added an analytics model. The EMR adoption model is a tool to compare yourself to others in how well you're implementing and utilizing electronic medical records. It, like all products, it has a product life cycle. The United States is now quite well adopted, past tense, into electronic medical records. So as the model continues to be matured and modified by my successors, it will have to work to retain its relevance, since the United States has so well and thoroughly adopted electronic medical records. I think the next issue is what we're talking about, interoperability and continuity of care. And the HIMSS actually did, under my direction, create an a continuity of care maturity model. And it was successful in Europe and in Southern Asia, has not been that widely adopted in the United States, and there's room for it to be more utilized in the US.
So these maturity models, and for our listeners who are unaware, which are defined as how mature or fully deployed a hospital is with information technology. When you were working on them, I believe there were three kind of verticals: continuity of care, acute care, and ambulatory care. Would you care, John, to elaborate on what the maturity model of continuity of care is and what it was attempting to achieve and to what extent we've been successful in that?
Yes. The intent of it was to show weaknesses in adopting the full interoperability and exchange of records for the benefit of patient care. We had some early successes in measuring it in communities, Prince Edward Island, for example, in Canada. I believe, as I recall, that Prince Edward Island has 9 hospitals, and all the physicians and all the hospital could be connected to one enterprise. And that was their goal. Iceland's another example, believe it or not. I mean, that's a country with 8 hospitals. Singapore, country with 35 hospitals. These places are ideal for utilizing the continuity of care maturity model. And they, in fact, did look at that model and began using it. But the whole idea, to answer your question, was to show where we are weak. Are we weak in government support? Are we weak in interoperability of detailed pharmaceutical data and allergy data, et cetera? That's what we are trying to show with the continuity of care maturity model, which was rolled out almost 8 years ago.
And what were some of the lessons learned? Where were the weaknesses?
In the United States, the weaknesses, since we only had 1 or 2 case studies, the weaknesses were still around interoperability with an entire, more than a local area, but like a state or a region, you know. And so the vendors have stepped up, Cerner within Cerner, Meditech within Meditech, Epic within Epic, but it's the cross vendor, especially in ambulatory, that we're still weak at. What we saw in Europe, and I'll notably say France and the Nordics, were far out achieving the United States in this aspect. And we saw it as well in Singapore and New Zealand, interesting enough. But you see, those places are smaller and they're more able, but it's their whole attitude and expectation about sharing data. Their attitude is, of course we share data. Why wouldn't you? It's for the benefit of the patient.
So on the topic of interoperability, there's many different topics that we can cover about why there may be weaknesses or inadequate interoperability. It could be due to a lack of federal standards, maybe that there are varying standards in each state. Maybe there are regional HIEs, should there be a national HIE? Are there technical challenges in just sharing different kinds of data, DICOM images, HL7, HTML code? Are there different? So I'd like to ask you to elaborate on what some of the challenges have. I think many of our listeners are kind of aware of what some of the challenges have been in interoperability, but how do you see us overcoming some of these challenges? What should CIOs in healthcare delivery systems in the United States be considering if they do want to improve interoperability? And then what kind of cases could they make to their teams that, yes, we are competing with these other hospitals, but we should still join a regional HIE? How do you make that case to your leadership team?
Yeah, that's a great question. The challenges are technical, and going to these meetings is sometimes like going to the IRS and going through the detail of audits. They are difficult and they're challenging. HIMSS sponsors annually a Connectathon, and they're done around the world as well. In Europe and Asia, these Connectathons where the vendors provide employees and they all work on scenarios to show that they can indeed connect and share data for patient care. What's the role of the CIOs? Stay involved in this area, or if that's not your forte, you have people on your team or in your organization that need to be involved in these local and regional efforts for interoperability. Be involved at the HIMSS interoperability showcase, which is well over an acre in size within the HIMSS annual conference, and see how sharing can be done. And we need to start measuring ourselves, and we can go back to the continuity of care maturity model, which still exists. Take on the challenge, engage someone at HIMSS to work with you on that model to see where your strengths and weaknesses are for your health system and your region. CIOs can work with other CIOs in their region to utilize the continuity of care maturity model and show each other what they all could do to improve. There are some good examples in the United States. There's just not enough.
Are the financial incentives adequately aligned in the U.S. to promote interoperability?
Not that I know of. I do not see any incentives for that.
And would it require an act of Congress, or is there some private sector solution that could align incentives to promote interoperability?
Private sector solution is going to be around measuring how well regions and healthcare institutions are doing it. And one such tool is that continuity of care maturity model. This is not my core strength, but I see information blocking as a negative incentive. If you do this, you're in trouble. So, that's an incentive of sort, but there's not as much. There's not the competition in it like we had with the EMR adoption model. I wanted to show that I had a higher score than the other hospitals in my market. We're not there yet in the United States with that.
I think maybe it's fair to say that in the United States, healthcare organizations respond well to financial incentives. And so we have very adequate EMR adoption due to the MU payment, the AIU MU payments that we saw over 2008 to 2020 or so, and penalties as well. Would you hypothesize that it would take payments from public and private payers in order to move us closer to interoperability and regional exchanges?
Yes, I think that's absolutely correct. I'd love to see that. We do have some incentive for those, for example, Medicare Advantage plans and other plans where the hospital and health system is at financial risk. If you do fully cooperate and exchange information, you may find that you can cut your costs. You don't need to do the MRI because you can pull one in from an organization who did it, last week. That is not an overt incentive, but those efforts could in fact lead to cost reductions and allowing you to have some operating margin on at-risk insurance plans.
There is one topic as we approach the end of this episode that I would like to broach, which very much plays into what we've been discussing today. So kind of wrapping up, the topic is change management. Internal stakeholders with various different motivations and desires. We've kind of alluded to maybe a CFO caring about, is there a financial penalty reward for doing this? And if not, why should I? Compared to improving patient outcomes or managing population health, which may be incented by a risk sharing model. To our CIOs listening today, what would you say to them about how to kind of direct change management in their organization in order to promote interoperability and continuity of care?
Wow. all of us have had experience over the ages in audits, auditing of medical records, or electronic medical records now. When there is right there an opportunity to find, when did I not obtain data from an outside organization when I could have? That's hard. It's taking an audit. I think that's one such thing that we should engage in ourselves. Look internally. When am I not exchanging information when I could have? This patient says they went to, you know, this other medical group. They're not part of our system. Did we get that data? If not, that's a failure point. So I think that's continued, and that's a, you know, it's a post-care audit. The other thing is setting the expectation that I will constantly do this as part of a day-to-day use of electronic medical records. Have the physicians tell us that they expect us to be involved in collecting this data. Have the medical staff demand it. You know, this patient says they're going to some other physicians outside of ours. We don't have their records. We don't have their prescribing patterns, et cetera. And have the medical staff demand this.
Thank you, John. I think we've covered a lot of ground today with interoperability, continuity of care. We spoke about adoption models, continuity of care, maturity models, and generally the direction that HIMSS has been moving over the last decade or so. So for our listeners, I just want to remind you, we've been listening to John Hoyt, the former executive VP for HIMSS Analytics and former CIO of Martha Jefferson Hospital. John, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I enjoyed the conversation. It was great. Thank you very much.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.